Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host is Ann Hirsch.
I am very much looking forward to this discussion that's coming up now.
It's going to be a tremendous discussion. Last week, we had Senator Jack Martins on, and this topic was brought up as one of many topics, but so we just hit on it. But today, we have our Nassau County legislator, Delia DeRiggi-Witten, with us, and Kevin McCarroll. And Kevin is lieutenant in the Port Washington Police Department. And we're going to be talking about learning how to recognize and prevent overdoses, which, unfortunately, on Long Island, has gotten into epidemic proportions. I just learned a little bit about it last week. I mean, the access or availability, rather not access. Well, the same thing. It's just tremendous. First, I want to say hello to Delia.
Hi. Thank you so much for having us.
No, this is thank you for taking the time, which is the most important part, to help your constituents learn what they can do, how they can recognize it. And then, Kevin, thank you for taking your time from a whole different, from the legal perspective of what needs to be done. And I don't have the answers, and I hope you have some.
Well, thanks for having me, Dan. I appreciate it. And we're going to delve into all sorts of different cooperative measures that have been taking place around the state of New York, and more specifically what we're doing locally to solve the problems.
Touch on the problem. For somebody listening, just touch on the problem on Long Island right now.
Well, heroin is back. It's back in a big way. It had fallen out of favor for quite a long time. When I first started in the business about 20 years ago, crack was king, they would say, and heroin was very rarely come across on the street. It had really fallen out of favor as it had been so popular in the 70s. So it kind of fell out of the mainstream usage. Lately, there's been a proliferation of prescription opioid or opioid derivatives, and those are anything that comes from the poppy plant. Heroin is the illicit version of those substances. They become very addictive. They're widely available. They became popular with kids as well as people who wind up getting them legitimately prescribed and then wind up getting addicted and beyond their legitimate means.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
Heroin, years ago, that was the what you put in the spoon and you had to cook it?
That's one method of taking it.
Is that what's going on now today?
Yeah, absolutely. But people have gotten more creative over time. You can snort heroin. You can inject it, like you mentioned. It's available in forms that can be ingested.
Really? So it's not as much work?
No. I mean, and the imagination is probably the only limitation on how you can take it. Just a quick stat, between 2005 and 2014, heroin treatment admissions among upstate New York residents increased by 115%. And on Long Island alone, they increased 116%. And it's continuing to climb. It has become exponential almost.
Okay.
Has it become very easy on Long Island to get it?
Easier because it's more popular. The other aspect is the amount of prescription pills that are available out there. And those fall into the wrong hands, either through bad prescriptions given by bad doctors or residential theft. We've all heard of robberies of pharmacies, burglaries of pharmacies where these things are stored. Like we said, the bad doctor problem is something that the DEA takes very seriously, and we're in full cooperation with them, going after individuals that would tend to write prescriptions of these substances to people that don't need them.
Right. Well, you read enough about that in the paper that it's just unbelievable. Delia, I just want to go, we're going to go back and forth.
Sure.
You have a great night coming up on June 1st.
Right.
What brought that about? That's tremendous.
Well, what I realize as a mother, I'm going to have three teenagers in a couple of months, so. But this is the type of thing that can happen to anyone. Like, we might say, oh, we don't have it on the North Shore of Long Island, or we don't. But what I really want people to be aware of is that there is a problem, and it can happen to any family. And I actually have a very good personal friend of mine who is hopefully going to show up on the 1st. Her name is Rosemary Sherry, and she has become a real spokesperson. She has three sons. Two have been honor students at Chaminade, and the third, unfortunately, has had a heroin addiction for the last 6 years.
Oh.
She has done everything
possible.
He's now 23 or 24.
Wow.
She's a stay-at-home mom. They were Boy Scouts, Catholic school.
Right, very, the perfect family.
Very, you know, like well-off family. Mm-hmm. Every possible chance that they've done to give him a wonderful life. But what's interesting is the connection with the opiate drugs, which is really seems to be the door that opens. And we all have them in our medicine closet, which is why we also do the Shed the Med program, which is to get rid of those drugs that we forget about. Because unfortunately, those seem to be how a lot of this starts. And it's actually that part of your brain, and supposedly is adjustable. I'm sure, you know, you would know. I don't know if that's a correct word, but it's the same part of the brain that receives the opiates that are found in heroin also. So it's like a receiver.
Okay.
And after a while, the opiates just, you know, the over-the-counter pain medicine doesn't do it. And the kids continue down the path until they really look for heroin. And there's a number of so many different layers. Having Rosemary as a close friend of mine has opened my eyes tremendously. Not only just seeing a personal struggle is really, it's really amazing. Because it becomes such a strong addiction so quick.
Right.
And a lot of the reason why the kids go into this is something that's really probably the main symptom that's never addressed is either a depression or some kind of social anxiety or whatever it is that our kids are struggling with that don't get resolved. They turn to this because they're in pain, and this seems to really make them feel great.
Okay.
And then...
I when you say socially... My question is, you know, like if somebody's drinking, you'd say, oh, boy, he had a few drinks, you know. Is that the same with, I mean, like, would I look at, I don't mean Kevin and say, oh, boy, he's, or is this one of those subtle things that you can go to school and nobody knows you're really taking it that morning? Or does it affect, you know, your walking and, you know.
It would depend on the level of dosage and how well a person can, you know, quote unquote, handle their substances, much like drinking. I mean, there's individuals, if they're real professionals, they can walk around and nobody would know. But there's a lot of signs, you know, that people can look for among their loved ones, or especially if they have children that they may have some opioid addictions.
I suppose
some
that
of them
was
are,
my point. How do you
yeah,
like your
some
friend,
of them, the
what,
biggest ones.
What would you
the,
look for?
The changes in behavior are a huge thing. You know, the changes in their overall attitude. And some of these, you thread the needle, especially in adolescence, because there's a lot of behavior changes that are natural.
Right.
But if you have a kid that's an honor student 1 week and by the next month he's skipping school and he's got a drop in grades, he's got difficulty in paying attention, general lack of motivation, you know, moodiness, irritability, paranoia.
Does it ever change to the positive? You know, therefore, you'd say, my God, my boy's coming out of his shell.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's an addictive person, but it's like, you're actually pleased. Like, Johnny went and said hello to Ant today, or, you know, that kind of thing.
I wouldn't say that for these types of substances
because
they're depressants. So, you know, little things. People, especially parents, have to become little detectives themselves where you look at things like, you know, secretive or suspicious behavior that was never there before. Car accidents. Even if the police miss the causal factor of these things, if you got a kid who gets into a car accident and something doesn't seem right to you, especially as a parent, you want to start looking deeper into what's going on with him if things don't add up. Chronic dishonesty, an unexplained need for money, stealing money or items, you know, change in personal grooming habits, and especially possession of drug paraphernalia. Is a huge one. It seems almost super simplistic, but you know, if you find a needle and spoon in little Johnny's backpack
and
he tries giving you some implausible reason why he's in possession of this stuff, oh, it's my friends. I'm holding it for him. That doesn't fly.
Now, there have been celebrities that have overdosed from things that because they were in pain because of a hip, because of a knee. So I'm going to swing into the older population for a moment. Mm-hmm. Is this something that is also, let's say, someone who's pushing drugs, or would they target an older population because they know of the pain and they know if you take something of this nature, it might relieve you of some of this?
Mm-hmm. Especially prescription pills, like you mentioned. If somebody goes down the path of you know, becoming addicted to substances beyond the normal prescription regimen. That's where you get into doctor shopping. A lot of times you'll see individuals will start, they get cut off from one doctor because they know the pain management is not being properly handled. And ultimately they'll find a doctor that's willing to break the law to provide these things. Kids wind up switching to heroin a lot, oftentimes because getting the pills either becomes too expensive or it just becomes untenable. They don't have a resource for it. Their supplier went dry. Heroin's widely available. And unfortunately, it's extraordinarily cheap. A dosage of heroin is about $5.
So, wow. One time. It's fine. Wow.
Yeah, your pills can get very expensive very fast. And
when you're talking pills, that's like Oxy and Percocet and those things. Okay.
Yeah, anything that, my elevator speech on that is anything that sounds like Oxy or Odone, that's in the most layman terms. Any of those are opiates. Yeah.
But that's, again, this is a stupid question. That doesn't become heroin. Heroin's a whole different thing. That's the first drug.
Yeah, they all come from the same place. It comes from the poppy plant, and it's a naturally occurring substance that is synthesized by various means into different medications.
I get you.
Morphine would be one that everybody would be familiar with, but it has the same effect on the brain and those opiate receptors.
I get you.
It fulfills that addiction.
It's a fascinating thing with these opiate receptors, and I'd love to eventually on the next thing just get into what my training does with the Narcan. It's one blessing we have in this.
That's what I'm going to do. Actually, we're going to take a little early break because on June 1st from 7 to 9 at Paul Schreiber High School, Dilya has a wonderful event planned. So right now you're listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org, and we'll be right back.